Let's hope it's not too loud. Okay. You know the beauty of when Acts 1 verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that word power there, you know, they're like, what is it? They're like six words of power, right? In Greek. I think our great soul, Apostle Lule says that Hebrew is in the 9th level, Greek is in the 7th level. Like, God chose the languages that are so rich to be able to explain certain things. And the word that is used for the power in Acts 1 verse 8 is dunamis. And dunamis is where the word dynamite comes from, or dynamos. You know, a bicycle, when you have a bicycle, you know, I think you know that Blackie. There's that dynamos behind there, right? Yeah, that small thing, yes. And if you don't cycle your bike, you don't have light, right? But the more you cycle, the more you generate light. So the power that we are given in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in us, is dynamite power, is dunamis power, it's potential power. So it's like a generator. It's like you're given a generator that you have to get it running. It is for you to... Even when a car, when you wake up with the car, you have to warm it. You cannot just, especially heavy machinery, you have to warm it until all the engine oils are flowing. Then you have full capacity. So likewise in prayer, in the things of the Spirit, before you do anything spiritual, you must have generated power. You must have awakened your machine. Some people only have the bicycle machine. Others have generators. Others have transformers. Others have nuclear reactors. Depending on how you use it and how you pump it. So there's just it's just an encouragement that what we are doing is not in vain. This what you're doing, you know, committing yourself to wake up every morning to pray, is not in vain. And he already knows that you need it.
Amen.
He already knows that you need it. Even before the word is on your mouth, he already knows that you need it. And that's why, like, you see, when Peter was rescued from prison, the Bible says as he walked with the angel, the iron gate just opened. The iron gate to the city just opened for them. It just waited for them. It became like this ones of the bank, just sliding doors. And this is not a gate that was kept open. This is a gate that was locked at night, you can imagine. But you see, in every city, in every place, whether it is business, whether it is in the UN, whether it is in your workplace, wherever area of involvement, there is an iron gate that blocks, that hinders your access. You know, there's a level you want to get. Maybe it's a step higher. Maybe it is a fixed term. Maybe it is something that you want to... There's something in your dream, in your desires that you wanted to go. But you know, even when you achieve your dreams, there is still more. With God, the Bible says that the path of the just keeps shining brighter and brighter till the morning day. It keeps shining brighter and brighter. It keeps glowing. And we grow from one level of glory to another. So we must never be comfortable with the levels that we have reached. And that's why the Bible says, do not dwell on the former things. Do not consider them. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? So God is always calling us higher. Come up higher, come up higher, come up higher. When we think we have achieved, we've been promoted, there's still another promotion. When you think we are still striving deeper. And you know, yesterday, just to get to back where to our studies, where yesterday, you know, we started looking at Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. Yeah, and we started looking at, and we can read it still. And God, who at sundry times, this is sundry times, you say this is, who was at many times, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I told you we will sit on this because it is so, I don't think I've seen, it's like the whole scripture compacted in three verses. This is like the whole Bible summarized in three verses, because we see how God spoke in the Old Testament, spoke to the fathers, spoke to the prophets, spoken to us through his Son Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. And then we see how Jesus is now an heir of all things. We see how we are joint heirs of him. We see how Jesus made all the world, how he is the representation of God, the brightness of his glory. He is the image, he is the true image of God, he is the express image of the person, of his person, and he upholds everything by God's power. And even we even see our redemption. He purged our sins. You know, he forgave our sins. You know, purging is like expunged. You know, like when they say your records are expunged, they went and they chopped them from that. They even blacked them out. Eh? They blotted out. Eh? And he's now seated high at the right hand of the majesty. This is the entire gospel. It's the entire gospel in three verses, but there is so much. But I want us to today. Yesterday we looked at in times past, and we looked at the differences of times. We say there is past times, there is last days, which also people call it present times or end days. You know, and then there's also in between the day of the Lord. There's also a day of vengeance which will come, which is the time of the great tribulation, where people will really look for somewhere to hide. Eh? Where, you know, scorpions, those demons will be released from hell, which have the head of a man, they have the tail of a scorpion, they have hands like a grasshopper, they have crowns on their head. They have funny, funny things. But the Bible says that they are given power to sting anyone on whom does not have the mark of the Lord, the seal of the Lord. And these are the things that we'll see that is, you know, is affecting people. I mean, there are so many things that are affected, but as long as we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, as long as we have the mark of authority, we shall ride above. You know, that's why they say the eagle glides above. You know, when the eagle is attacked in the air, it just goes up, it just goes higher. So whenever you face any attacks, whenever you're facing challenges, just go higher. Find there's a place where you can soar above. Go to the supernatural. Just get somewhere. Go to a toilet. Find a quiet place. Just break in prayer, break in worship, break in tongues. And there is no challenge that will defeat you. As you do that, then God will deposit something in your spirit that will give you an escape. That's why it says, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And when it has come to you, he's able to provide a way that you can stand up under it. So we today I want us to look at the fathers. He spoke in times past unto the fathers. Unto the fathers. That is just the theme for today. Unto the fathers. The fathers. God spoke to the fathers. And then tomorrow we'll look at God spoke by the prophets. We'll just dig it slowly by slowly like that. Now the question is, you ask ourselves, when scripture speaks of fathers, who are they referring to? But now we are speaking, we narrow it to in the past times. So remember, in our dichotomy of our learning, we are looking first at past times, then we will look at revelation through the Son, you know, in the last days. Huh? So there are two eons that we'll be looking at, past times and the last day. So in the past times, we have seen that God spoke unto the fathers. And the fathers actually, they spring from two lines. You know, when actually I think it would be good to just go to it in Genesis so that at least I don't lose you. In Genesis, the fall of man, let's go to Genesis chapter
Urabaya kabaka shede de kobaka se de kashi de karabo kobasi.
Yeah, Genesis chapter 4. And I just want us to read, I will just read a few verses, then I will jump others, and then I will show. So Genesis chapter 4, if you are there, from verse 1, it says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. And then now it continues to tell us, Cain was a farmer, Abel was kept the flocks, but then eventually they came to bring an offering to the Lord. You see, they were out of Eden, but you see, they realized it's that they still, there was still that hunger for God, because these children were born outside of Eden. They were not born in Eden. Remember, but so you can see the grace, because people say there's no grace in the Old Testament. They are wrong. Because, first of all, God told Adam that when you sin, you shall die. He did not die immediately. He died spiritually, but he kept on living. His children now experience grace because God offered to listen to them. And God will speak to them, you can see. Because in as much as they did not sin, they carried the sin, but now God offered them a way to speak to them. And that's why they came and brought an offering. But you see, the Bible says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, that the Lord looked with favor. But then Cain got angry, and then he killed his brother. And then if you read from there, now Cain, from verse 17 of Genesis 4, Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And then Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and the father of Methusael, and the father of Lamech. And then Lamech married two women, and named Ada and Zillah, and Ada gave birth to Jabal, who was the father of those who live in tents, and his brother's name was Jubal, the father of all who play by the harp. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron, and Tubal-Cain's sister was Nama. Now, what God is showing us is two lineages. There's the sons of disobedience, who are the sons of Cain. And you can see that Cain started to build his own kingdom apart from God. The Bible says that Cain left the presence of God. You can imagine, eh? That's verse 16. So Cain went out from the presence of God. So Cain decided he will build his own perspective, he'll build his own kingdom outside of the presence of God. And you can see what happens. This is not the Enoch that walked with God. This is a different Enoch. This is the son of Cain. So there are two Enochs, so that you are aware of that. So Enoch builds a city. He named it Enoch. He has his sons. Then along his lineage, now the polygamy is introduced. You can see polygamy never existed, but only in the sons of disobedience, the sons of Cain. That is now when we see polygamy is introduced. Lamech married two women. Is in the seventh generation. Is now when a man finally had courage to now go contrary to the will of God completely. Because now, with wickedness increasing, now they are devising even more ways. Because they are building a civilization outside of the kingdom of God. Outside of the presence of God. And then you can see he commits murder also. Later on, he says he told his wives, I killed a man. If Cain is to be avenged seven times, I don't know. I myself will also do 70 times seven. I've forgotten the exact number. But then also we see that there is music. Music is invented, and this is Babylonian music. You can see they say that Jubal, he was the father of all who play harp music, and then also weapons. War came about. His brother's name was the one who invented all kinds of tools of bronze and iron. But then from verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4, we see that the Bible says that Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son, and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in the place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. That is the most powerful verse that comes there in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Enosh. This is the difference, huh? Between Enoch and Enosh. So, the line of Cain went into disobedience. The line of Seth, who was a replacement of righteous Abel, who was killed, now went into obedience. And the Bible says that at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And you see, it is that line, eh? If you read now, go to chapter 5, this is the account of Adam's line. When God created Adam, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when he had created them, he called them man. When Adam lived 130 years old, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Now you see, the first part, chapter 4, we described the generation of the sons of disobedience. Huh? And then now we are being described now the generation of the sons of God, the holy ones, the ones who kept righteousness. So we see that now Adam, Seth, he named in his own image and likeness. He continued now in the image of and likeness. Because remember, Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. So now Seth came after his own image. So now we are now seeing the lineage of Jesus, because Jesus did not come from the lineage of Cain. Jesus did not come from the lineage of Cain. Jesus came from the lineage of Adam. Of Seth. So after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years. He had other children. Then Seth was 6, lived, had 105 years. He became the father of Enosh. And after he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years. And then Enosh later on became the father of Kenan. Kenan became the father of Mahalalel. Mahalalel became the father of Jared. Jared became the father of Enoch. And Enoch is the one where we are told that Enoch walked with God. He continually walked with God in fellowship until he was no more. And he only lived 365 years because God took him. The Bible says God took him. And this is, for me, I consider him is also one of the fathers. He's one of the fathers, Enoch, because he walked with God. And then eventually the line continues up to Lamech, and then now we have Noah. We have Noah. So we are painted two generations, the sons of God and the sons of disobedience, or the sons of men. These are two generations that we are pointed for in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And then that is why we now come to chapter 6. Now in chapter 6, we are told that men began to increase in number on the earth when and daughters were gone. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married many of them as they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Now there's a big argument whether the sons of God here are angels or the sons of God here are men. You understand? So there are those who argue that the sons of God here in this place were angels who came and slept with men. And then they produced the giants. You understand? Which came from verse 4, that the sons of God, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men, they had children by them, and they were the heroes of all men of renown. But I would prefer to stick with the sons of God being the line of Seth. And I'll give my reasons. And of course, those who say they're angels, they have their reasons. I mean, whether they go through extra biblical scriptures, or whether they look at Jude, where they speak of the angels who did not keep their place. But at times you will ask yourself, is it keeping their place to come to build the daughters of men, or it was keeping their place of worshiping God? That's how I'll argue that. They will say it's keeping their, it's, they did not keep their place of, where their place in heaven. That's how I'll put it. But then It says that the men, the sons of God, and it's nowhere do we see that angels recreated with men. There is no other, like, angels do not have seed, basically. And no angel is the same like another. They are not a race. Every angel is unique to the other. They are different. It's a diversity of God. It's God expressing his beauty, his infinite wisdom. Just like the same way you have 8 billion people and no person is the same. No individual is the same. Out of 8 billion people, no individual is the same. But God knows you and me. He knows you and me individually. He knows us individually. So that is the diversity of God. Now, the sons of God slept with the daughters of men. And why? Because they were beautiful. But remember, you know, there is something called the bondage of corruption. Because of this sin, sin resulted in the bondage of corruption, resulting in giants being born of that. Because God had wanted to preserve the line of Seth, the line of holiness. But then because the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, the daughters of those of Cain were beautiful, they decided to mix themselves. They wanted to go and marry them as they pleased. And you see, this is the intermingling of things of God and things of the world. When people want to desire the things of the world, it results in giants being creation. It results in Nephilim. It results in abnormalities. Because the church mixing with the world results in an abnormality. Let me just summarize it there. God said, "My spirit will not strive with man forever because he is mortal." Until then, God has never and will never strive with man. God will never force anyone to be born again. God will never force anyone to hear the gospel. God will never force anyone to believe in him. God will never force anyone to be sent of him. That is why the question in heaven is always that, whom shall we send? Because God said he will not strive with man. And that is why God will nudge you. God, the Holy Spirit, will warn you. He will try to tell you something. But the moment you decide to do your own way, the Bible says that my spirit will not strive with man. He already said, I will not strive with man. And that is it. And God will never strive with man. It depends on you. It is your willingness. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah. I think this is Isaiah 1:17. That if you are willing and obedient, 18-19, you shall eat the good of the land. Two things: willingness and obedience. There are those who are obedient and they are not willing. There are those who are willing and they are not obedient. But the Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So, the sons of God and the sons of men, they mingle, and then that is when God said, I am grieved with man because every inclination of his heart is towards sin. And then, but the Bible says, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor. I tell you, may God help you to find favor even when the world has changed, even when the world is confused, even when everyone has decided to live in sin. May God help you to find favor, that out of all the people he can look, even on this land, he will just say, I found favor with Emmanuel. God found favor. And when the world was to be destroyed, and actually God destroyed it, he preserved this one man and his family. Now, these are the fathers. God spoke to the fathers. God reached out to his sons. God reached out to those who were willing to hear him. That's why he later on reached out to Abraham. He later on reached out to David. He later on reached out to Moses. God spoke to the fathers. Fathers were those, and you can imagine in their time they did not have the Bible. They had to hear the voice of God. They had to hear the voice of God. You can imagine, as we have scriptures, we can laugh and say, this guy, why was he doing, why did Abraham sleep with Hagar? We can laugh about it. Right? But we are not in their shoes. These guys did not have a pathway. They only had to depend on the voice of God, on the speakings of God. And I pray that that God will help us to understand that this is times past. But now God is moving us to the full revelation of what he has done in his Christ, of how he has revealed himself in Jesus, and that's where we are going. So tomorrow, as I said, we'll look at how God spoke to the prophets. And just to add one more thing, fathers, you can look at it in 1 John chapter 1, where it says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known whom is from the beginning. You have known, where it says, I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. I write to you, fathers, because you have known whom is from the beginning. Let me just get you the exact verse. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12 to 14. There you'll see where the elders are written. And then we have seen again. And then if you compare also, just reference this, Hebrews 11, where it says, Hebrews 11 verse 2. It says that by faith the elders obtained a good report. So, elders are those who obtain a good report by faith. So, and I think there are five elders that are described there. I think when you read the notes of the devotion that I've shared, you're going to see how those few elders that I've listed there, how they obtained their faith. And maybe even tomorrow we can look at it. What does it mean to have a good report? Maybe we can start from there tomorrow as God helps us before we even go to the prophets. What does it mean to have a good report? A good report. What's a good report in the spirit? And even reflect on that today as the day goes ahead. And let me just stop there. I think the time is also gone. But please, you're welcome to reflect.
Thank you. Thank you indeed. God is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good sermon. Yeah, it still remains a gray area for me, and that question of whether it was really sons of God, angels that lived with men. I hope one day we'll get
the full answer, for sure. No, they say let scripture interpret itself. Let scripture interpret itself. What is happening in the context? That's what I always say. What is happening in the context? What is being painted? Which line? What is happening? Is there any other precedence of angels sleeping with men? No. But there was a point men wanted to sleep with angels when they came as men. So there are many arguments to it. Of course, there are those who believe it's angels. I don't argue with them. There are those who believe it's men. I don't argue. And then because the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed are for us and our children. And it's not a salvation issue. What I'm trying to say, there are things that are not salvation issues. They don't determine me going to heaven or not. It's in the path of seeking God that God clarifies it for us. So I think that's how I can put it. So it's not something to let it not bother you or worry you or put you down.
That's good. And thanks. I mean, we can clearly see where the spirit of envy leads. And I think that's how Cain ended up committing the crime that he did. Yesterday I was also hearing when Apostle Grace was talking about, you know, when it's time for offering and you find someone looks for the oldest note in the pocket.
Oh my God. It's a shame, I know. God can deal with the church mouse. They say as poor as a church mouse.
I think that was the spirit that Cain had.
True. Oh my God. I think we really need to repent, especially for offerings. To be honest, we really need to repent because the standard of God never changes. Huh? God's standard does not change. It is us to come up to his standard. That's why he said he will not strive with man. If you want to continue doing your things, you continue, but you will not attain the things of God. His standard cannot change. His standard is high. It's you to come up high. And we must actually, even in offerings, that's why he was like, you have a good animal, but you're bringing a sick, diseased animal. Even if the economy has changed, even if let's say you are giving £10,000 or something like that, and now the same value is 2,000 because of inflation, and you are still giving the 10,000. Are you being honest with God? Or, you know, people don't understand. Yet offerings, yet gifts is what, the gift of Abel is what obtained him a witness. It is what obtained him a witness that he was righteous, because God testified of his gifts. Look at how the Bible puts it. God, even what made the difference in Cornelius? The centurion. It is because of his gifts. The Bible says this man and his gifts, that even Peter is refusing to go. He said, go. Until now the Lord said, now I command you, go. Go to those men in Joppa. go to them. Yeah? Because he was refusing, he said, I cannot kill. But because of the man's gifts, it was, look at even, what's her name? Tabitha, when she died. The Bible says when they brought Peter, they showed her the things she has made. And now, Peter had to have a, what is it? It's a defense. You know, they say to resurrect someone from the dead is a negotiation with God. You have to show your evidence. You have to show your evidence. Why should we resurrect this person? That is the question heaven asks. Then now you have to bring your evidence. This woman, she has done this and this and this for God. And for sure, if it is right, look at Hezekiah. If it is right, the person can be awoken from the dead and given 15 years. Or you can, the man of God can say, because of the testimony that I have with you, and for the sake of your gospel, and for these people to know that you are God, resurrect them. Then God will say, okay, yeah, I want people saved. Okay, let the guy wake up. My brother, the alarm has rung. It is 6 a.m. Let's give thanks to God. Father God, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you for what you've taught us today. We do not take it for granted. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We thank you that you be with us and bless our day, bless the work of our hands, bless our families, watch over our food, our water, our going in, our coming back, our come, be with our families, our relatives, and everything that our nation, oh God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, my brother. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.